It's time for Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 3 years has shared with us her decades' research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative and judicial processes in America. And now, here's Mae.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. And it's been a long time since I've been on the air. My last broadcast was September 29th, 1975. After 4.5 years on the radio with KLRB on a weekly basis, I did go off because of anonymous phone calls and various threats, particularly from the Manson family, from the infamous Sandra Good, who's now located in a Nevada prison eating her vegetarian meals. Certain events have been taking shape in Washington, D.C. that compelled me to renew my contact with the radio audience. I've been doing radio shows around the country from the House as various stations call weekly or once a month or intermittently, but I did want to go on the air at KLRB and tell you what is taking place in Washington, D.C. because it is of primary importance to the research that I've done these past 12 years. There are major events shaping up that affect our lives now and will affect our lives in the future, and they have to do specifically with the House Rules Committee in Washington, D.C. to block investigations into any political assassinations in the United States. In addition to the House Rules Committee wanting to block these investigations, there's a total news blackout of this effort. Of certain persons to open up the John Kennedy assassination, as well as that of Senator Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and the attempted killing of George Wallace. This kind of power could only come from somebody like Gerald Ford. I'll go into that in a little while. But the Rules Committee will be depriving the citizens of the United States of this vital information if the blockage succeeds. Last week, or the week before, they voted to shelve the two amendments that I'm going to speak about. And on the 18th of March last week, there was an appeal from various researchers asking that this very, very important matter not be allowed to be put under the table, that the American people deserve to know the truth about who killed the President of the United States, and they deserve to have this evidence available. With the exception of Ted Gandolfo in Los Angeles and myself, there have been no other persons on the air trying to reach the people in America to tell them about the shelving of these amendments and about the news media blackout. And the two of us have spent the past weekend calling all over the country, including various researchers, and I had a conversation with Marguerite Oswald to tell her that the matter of her son's innocence in killing President John Kennedy was being talked about in Congress and the House of Representatives, and the newspaper blackout was so total that she had no idea that this was going on. This continuous news blackout of hard evidence of the Kennedy assassination has continued since the day that John Kennedy was killed, since November 22, 1963. In addition to ignoring this evidence, or the evidence that Jack Ruby was hired to murder Lee Harvey Oswald, and to silence this selected patsy, the established forms of news media went even one better. CBS, NBC, Time, Life magazine, Newsweek, the main sources for information inside the United States, have continuously and annually or semi-annually or every 3 or 4 years published and projected on the screen factual lies about the evidence in these assassinations. They have given you misinformation, and they have flooded you with untruths only for the purpose to perpetuate the official government story that Lee Harvey Oswald acted as a lone nut when he allegedly murdered John F. Kennedy. Congressman Henry Gonzalez introduced what is known as House Resolution 204 after what he said were very disturbing developments that came to light to him in the summer of 1973. Mr. Representative Downing presented House Resolution 432, a request to open specifically the investigation into the assassination of President John Kennedy. The Gonzalez resolution was much broader, to go into the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and the shooting of Governor Wallace in 72. Representative Downing also introduced to the House a resolution that was very, very strong. He's very knowledgeable on the Kennedy assassination. He said, and I'll read you some of his words, that he didn't believe in this kind of thing earlier. He accepted the Warren Commission report, but now he realizes that something is very far amiss and that he wants these things opened up. Both men are supported by 126 members of the House of Representatives, representing a large number of the population of this country. And in order for Congress to open up the investigations into the political assassinations, one or all of them, the Rules Committee must pass on this decision. And 2 weeks ago, two representatives from the Rules Committee, Ray J. Madden from Indiana and Richard Bolling from Missouri, came to that committee and announced the investigations would be ended until after the elections. Their argument was that the Kennedy assassination issue is, quote, too sensitive and would be disruptive. Now, that can only mean two things. One, that Lee Harvey Oswald did not assassinate President John Kennedy. Otherwise, a new investigation would not disrupt anything going on in this country. And number two, Gerald Ford, member of Congress, formerly of Congress, now president, appointed president, and former member of the Warren Commission, who was appointed to investigate the assassination of President Kennedy by Richard Nixon, wants to win his first election, as I say, he was appointed, without the taint or smear of his covering up the murder of the last fairly elected president of the United States. Why would the Rules Committee want to shelve until after the election any information that a major candidate for president sat on a commission which totally ignored constant information, documentation that was available to conceal this crime? Now, Gerald Ford, if you've read your newspapers in the last year, year and a half, has had his tremendous power illustrated in concealing facts that are vital to the American people. The minutes of the Warren Commission showed that as a member of the commission, he would not allow Jack Ruby to tell him about the conspiracy that was centered in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He went to the Warren Commission saying, I can handle the Associated Press, United Press. He has successfully concealed the Watergate facts, giving of Howard Hughes money, illegal contributions to judges, congressmen, assemblymen, police, district attorney, money that totally perverted our system of justice. And then Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, and after election, he will pardon the other defendants, such as John Mitchell, John Ehrlichman, and Mr. Haldeman, and they have never been punished or gone to jail for the crimes that they committed. Senator Sam Ervin recently said that Gerald Ford was totally responsible for covering up the investigation of Watergate money, the washings before the 1972 presidential election. Sam Ervin said Ford, in quotes, moved heaven and earth to prevent the money washing to come out and to tell who financed the Watergate break-in. The President of the United States, Richard Nixon, was removed from office as completely and totally as if he had been assassinated like John Kennedy. And Gerald Ford had an instrumental part in concealing who killed John Kennedy and in concealing who was behind the Watergate, and he continues with this concealment. His power is so great that he even ordered the Japanese government to conceal who is behind the Lockheed clandestine money in Japan, and his power is total over there. They will hush up the investigation of the money sent to Japan, which comes back to us in the form of trained central intelligence agents trained in Japan and then come back to the United States. I'm thinking specifically of Colston Westbrook, who was instrumental in setting up the SLA at Vacaville Prison after 7 years in Southeast Asia and training in Japan with the Central Intelligence Agency in behavior modification. And now Gerald Ford has to be having his hand to stop this Rules Committee from investigating these assassinations at this time, because for all purposes, he shouldn't be impeached. He lied at his confirmation hearings that he didn't make a deal with Richard Nixon. Evidence proves otherwise that he did. The pardon was made in advance, and Gerald Ford must be fighting very hard for his political life, and that can be the only reason why this is being shelved. I'm going to read to you some evidence, the congressional record that took place this last March, as much as time allowed, because it's very important for you to hear what the congressmen are saying about these assassinations. And I will give you the address of persons to write to in Washington, D.C., right now and later, if you have a pencil. Write to Ray Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N. He's chairman of the Rules Committee. House Rules Committee, Rayburn Office Building, House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., 20015. And, or if you have money and can telephone, it's area code 202-225-2461. The chief counsel for the Rules Committee is Gregory Nicosia. And Mr. Nicosia told Ted Gandolfo today that the committee ruled unanimously, every member today, that March 29th, 1976, that when they have a hearing this coming Wednesday in 2 days on the 31st, of the shelving of these amendments, that nothing can be admitted by Dr. Cyril Wecht, no evidence can be admitted on the conspiracy to kill John Kennedy by Cyril Wecht, and the showing of the Abraham Zapruder film may not be shown to the committee again. Dr. Wecht is a recognized pathologist. He is a physician. He is a lawyer. Allegheny County in Pennsylvania has a responsible position. He's the only non-government person who has examined the autopsy reports of John Kennedy, a very responsible person, and they will not allow him anymore to submit any more information to that committee. It was a unanimous decision. Now, researchers like myself who have not been to medical school or law school are called not responsible by the officials that be in Washington. We're only lay people, in quotes, spreading rumors, or demonologists, the latest label I get from Playboy magazine or the Village Voice. I'm a demon. The demons can't testify, but the doctor lawyer can't testify either. People that have worked 12 years cannot appear before the Rules Committee to present evidence of this conspiracy. And what is so shocking about it is, when I read to you the congressional record, is that members of Congress are saying to the Rules Committee, please open this up, because there are not rumors. There is documentation and hard evidence that John Kennedy was killed and that Lee Harvey Oswald did not do it alone, if at all. Now, Richard Nixon, for those of you that don't remember the chronology of Gerald Ford's becoming president, Richard Nixon, the vice president of the United States, was in charge of the Bay of Pig operation. Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA in charge of the invasion. John Kennedy called off the invasion of Cuba. Cuba was the headquarters of organized crime, the mafia, the drug syndicate, gambling and prostitution. Jack Ruby of Dallas fame, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, had many links with the FBI and also with the gambling community in Cuba before Castro came into power. After the Cuban invasion was called off, John Kennedy wanted to tear the CIA to shreds. But when he was assassinated in November 1963, Alan Dulles was put on the Warren Commission to open up the investigation of the murder of John Kennedy. Richard Nixon, who worked with E. Howard Hunt and Alan Dulles planning the Bay of Pigs operation, appointed Gerald Ford from the CIA community on the Warren Commission to investigate the killing of John Kennedy. Ford was part of a massive cover-up, as I said before, on the murder of John Kennedy, identical to what Richard Nixon did in Watergate. When Nixon was in hot water and the Watergate was coming down upon him and he would have to leave office, he brought in Representative Ford to become Vice President of the United States. The links of Gerald Ford to Richard Nixon, to the Central Intelligence Agency, to the covering up of investigations goes back to 1963 and was continuing in 1973 when Richard Nixon went out of office. If Nixon had to be removed because of Watergate, he knew that Gerald Ford should also be impeached or removed because of the John Kennedy assassination. They worked together to protect the Central Intelligence Agency. So it's 1976. Gerald Ford does not want the John Kennedy assassination open. He went on record to say that it could be opened a little bit, along with David Belin of the Warren Commission, a little bit. But members of Congress are becoming very intelligent, and they don't accept a little bit of opening. They want the whole story to go on, hopefully. Now, I'm going to read to you, as I say, these are some minutes, as much as time allows in the remaining 30 minutes, from the congressional record. And I suggest that you write your congressman. In our area, it's Representative Bert Talcott, wherever you live, or write to Representative Gonzalez or Representative Ray Madden in Indiana, and ask for the pages from the congressional record, March 18th, 1976, starting with H, 2101, page 2101 to page 2114. These pages are historically valuable. They're important. You should own them. Congress will send them for you. You've paid for them. ask for these records of what the congressmen know and the various officials pleading with just a few members of the Rules Committee not to shelve the amendments to open this up. The members of the Rules Committee are Roy Madden of Indiana, James DeLancey of New York, Richard Bowling from Missouri, B.F. Sisk of California from Fresno is the instrumental man in shelving this, John Young of Texas, Claude Pepper of Florida, Spark Matsunaga of Hawaii, Morgan Murphy of Illinois, Gillis Long of Louisiana, Joseph Moakley of Massachusetts, and Andrew Young of Georgia. That's about 12 men who are suppressing the desires of over 85% of persons in the United States who no longer accept the Warren Report or believe the government was telling the truth about the killing of a president. It's an election year now, and 8 or 9 people can decide that this can't even go before the House of Representatives to be exposed. Representative Downing was the first person to speak before the committee on March the 18th. He said, "I've served in the House of Representatives for 17 years. Until a few weeks ago, I thought I could return home with a feeling of accomplishment." He's intending to retire now. "In a past few weeks, certain events have transpired in the House of Representatives that concern me deeply. Either I don't understand the House half as well as I thought I did, or the House is going through a deep and fundamental transformation. Until now, I believe Congress never made a policy of refusing to look into serious national problems, no matter how difficult. This is precisely what they are doing today. They are refusing to look into the JFK assassination. We do not know who killed John F. Kennedy or why. And even the House apparently is uninterested and shamefully unwilling even to attempt to find the answers. Months ago, resolutions were introduced providing to open the John Kennedy assassination. Henry Gonzalez had a wider resolution passed by more than 100 members of the House of Representatives, but we have not been able to get a hearing on the merits before the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee will not listen to any of the evidence for the passage of the resolutions. It will not listen to evidence that is real and very serious, and a serious problem exists. Despite our appeals and our offer to share with them hard evidence, they refuse to give, and they will not give others, 100 other sponsors, even any hearing on the merits of this case. There's to be no hearing, no evidence, no witnesses, no vote, no nothing. 80% of the people don't believe their leader was cut down by a lone nut. Why the reluctance? Have they been told by the intelligence community? The intelligence community acted alone as the sole investigator for the Warren Commission. Do they know who was behind the killing? Is it too horrible for the American people to face? The reluctance of many to approach the impeachment program 2 years ago was proven to be incorrect. The American people could stand the shock. The Republic didn't collapse. I'm quoting from the Congressional Record, Representative Downing, March 18, 1976. The American public, he said, was better off knowing the truth. Senator Church's committee began work on foreign assassinations. The same people cried the same story. Yet they examined a number of U.S.-sponsored assassinations and murders, and the pillars of the Republic didn't crumble. What can we think about? Can we assimilate the truth of foreign leaders, and are we not entitled to the truth about our own popular elected president? It seems strange the wrongful death of our own president is less concern than the death in Congo, Vietnam, Dominican, and Haiti. Yet the truth is being withheld from them, and there is overwhelming abundance of evidence, physical, documentary, scientific, that exists that Oswald could not have been the lone assassin. Equally important, there's a mass of evidence which indicates that the Warren Commission may have made no real effort to get to the bottom of the killings. And this is where Gerald Ford comes in as a member of that commission. They were prohibited by the Intelligence Commission community. Now, I don't agree with Representative Downing. I don't think they were prohibited because I read the minutes of the meetings, and Gerald Ford was as much part of the cover-up as a member of the CIA as any other paid employee of the CIA. But Representative Downing went on, "Someone apparently does not want us to see the evil, hear the evil, and certainly does not want us to talk about it." This is Representative Downing, and this is why I'm back on Dialogue Conspiracy today to talk about it. Representative Downing went on and asked about the truth? What about the truth? One would think that the truth about the death of the president would be sufficient cause for opening the case. After all, if a president is eliminated for political reasons and not a nut, is not the whole factory, our form of government, in direct danger if we cover up political motivations and go on as if nothing happened? For 11 months, I have learned more than I ever wanted to learn. I've only touched the tip of the iceberg. Without subpoena power, it will be hard to get in the facts. The American people want to know the truth. Today, 12 years after the death of John Kennedy, information in the National Archives is not even available to members of Congress. During the last year, more students at our colleges and law schools throughout the country attended lectures on the subject of the assassination than all other subjects combined. 126 members of Congress have joined in wanting to open the investigation. What argument can be given against it? The Warren Commission relied only on the CIA and the FBI. The American people believe that the credibility in our institutions can only be enhanced by full commitment to truth. That was Representative Downing. He said the purpose of all this is to try to get Congress, and mainly the Committee on Rules, to reconsider its former decision to not even to look at the evidence. You see, it was last 2 weeks ago that they ruled out examining any evidence, and this appeal was made March the 18th, 1976. Representative Downing said, I would hope the Committee on Rules would give us this opportunity, particularly since our colleagues have sponsored similar resolutions. The people want to know. The people are not afraid of the truth. Perhaps if we conduct this investigation, we may minimize assassination attempts on future presidents. That was Representative Downing. Representative Lagomarsino from California continued on March 18th. He said, I'm a strong supporter of legislation to open the John Kennedy assassination. I regret the Rules Committee decision not to consider House resolution opening up the assassination. The specter of assassinations has loomed ominously over the political scene for more than a decade. President Kennedy was only the first in a succession of public assassinations and assassination attempts. Mail pours into Congress requesting a reopening the murder probe. The nation is dissatisfied, if not disbelieving, of the Warren Report. It is unconscionable that the Congress would not allow this matter to continue unresolved any longer. To ignore the problem now, as previously undisclosed evidence mounts concerning this matter, would be to ignore the truth. And we can't allow this opportunity to go where we do not ascertain the truth. Representative Mineta of California followed. He said, I rise today in support of the Downing resolution. He was sorry to hear that the Rules Committee decided not to consider it. I, along with the American people, want the Warren Commission investigated. People question the Warren Commission's methods and conclusions. Too many questions remain regarding Lee Harvey Oswald's background, the single bullet theory, the weapon capability, the links of Jack Ruby, FBI, and organized crime, and the discrepancies between the testimony and the evidence given to the Warren Commission and its public conclusions. I respectfully urge the Rules Committee to reconsider its actions to determine if Americans can share my view and have a right to answer these questions on the John Kennedy assassination. Now, those of you that remember Dialogue Conspiracy through the years, one of the big factors that I talked about and the basis for my research was comparing the Warren Report to the published testimony, witness testimony, and evidence and documentation, and to see the discrepancy. And he calls attention to this, that there is this discrepancy between the testimony and the evidence and their published conclusions. Representative Oberstar of Minnesota spoke up, and he made a point, each one of them making a different point, but equally important. He said the question of who killed Kennedy intrigues Americans, but the conflicting evidence must be clarified in the name of truth out of respect for our legal tradition of conclusion of law based on the finding of fact. Contrary to that tradition, however, it is the present status of the JFK assassination phenomena. The issue is clouded by unresolved conflicts, including that one bullet theory, the direction of the bullet, questionable evidence regarding the exit wounds. These issues cannot be ignored. They must be resolved for posterity in the long-term service of truth. What he was saying, in the name of law, out of respect for legal tradition. You can't conclude that a certain person did a murder when there's no physical evidence to back up that murder, because then you really do swing into, like, Nazi Germany. If you saw the movie The Special Section that I talked about on Dialogue Conspiracy before, if you study the courts of Nazi Germany, there was this total perversion. If you say that a man did this murder and have no physical evidence to link it, he said you lose respect for the legal tradition and the conclusion of law based on the finding of fact. You're losing a lot of things when you don't open up the John Kennedy assassination. You're losing the chance for free elections. You're perverting the law, and you're losing the chance for the media to really give you the truth, and you're allowing them to lie to you about these particular events. Representative Mathis of Georgia said, "I don't think there is any question, but the American institutions and their government have been deceived, either deliberately or through error on the part of the Warren Commission. I think the public has been deceived. I think the public has a right to know. If the Rules Committee blocks its opening and can bring it, we can bring a resolution to the floor," he said, "but it will require 218 names. They don't want to use that matter. They don't want to work around it, but they will if they have to. It's imperative that we move with a great degree of expedition in this matter because," Representative Mathis of Georgia said, "because of the fact that every day that passes, memories dim, witnesses disappear, the record shows exactly how many people who had some part, however minute, in that sorry display of things that happened in Dallas are no longer with us." And, of course, he's referring to people like Mr. Worrell, who saw Oswald leave out of the back of the depository, and Sheriff Craig, who is also dead, who saw Oswald leave from the front of the depository, or the person who ran the rooming house where Oswald stayed, or Lean Roberts, or the cab driver, or the bus driver. Oswald was supposed to have been in their bus on the cab. All of these personalities, over 100 of them, are dead. Many lives have been threatened. Not memory, many memories have dimmed, unless they had lobotomies like Abraham Bolden of the Secret Service, who had a prefrontal lobotomy. Surgically, his memory is dim. But this man says the record shows exactly how many people who had some part in that sorry display of things are no longer with us. Now, Representative Gonzalez got up to appeal for his amendment to be continued and for Representative Downing's to be continued. And he said that some people throughout the ages of history who are afraid of freedom and they're afraid of truth. What is it we must fear? What is there about the circumstances, about the death of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and the Wallace shooting? What can there be that makes it impossible for the only body in the nation able and sufficient to do a thorough job to assess what has been done to the American Republican form of government? If it had such a large impact on us, what are they afraid of? We now have an unelected president. We have an unelected vice president. I seriously doubt the 25th Amendment, which continues to point a revolver in our heads in a sense of stability and continuity in the democratic processes of our government. It never would have been adopted if JFK had not been killed. Why should we open this up now? Why should Congress feel a responsibility on their shoulders? It goes to the very heart of the matter about which Congress is about and everything else, Congressman Gonzalez said. Are we again to accept the rule of the bullet rather than the ballot, which is what we are doing? The Warren Commission incorporated into its volumes of exhibits evidence that certainly Alan Dulles, this is from the Central Intelligence Agency, the same Alan Dulles that worked with Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon and E. Howard Hunt, he says certainly Alan Dulles had more than a passing knowledge of some things that now look to be accusing and have been enshrouded in an attempt to be submerged, obscured, not evaluated, or not considered at all. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was more than some loner. The effort on the part of federal agencies to impede the investigation of Jim Garrison, former district attorney of New Orleans, should have been disturbing to us at the time it was occurring. Jim Garrison was the first person in the United States to proclaim loud and clear that some of our agencies were working in violation of their charter and doing domestic work wholly inimical to the purposes for which the agency was founded, and also that same agency was the only agency to investigate the assassination of the president. Congressman Gonzalez went on, the concern for the assassination of President Lincoln cannot compare with more than a decade of political assassinations in America. There has been no similar period in history. in our country since the assassination of John Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963. Within this last decade, there's been an electoral system for all practical purposes that has been manipulated, either deliberately or through a strange set of circumstances. The American people have been denied the options with the democratic processes thwarted. We have everything to lose if we do not act courageously in the pursuit of truth. If conspiracies exist in connection with even one of these deaths or the attempt on Governor Wallace, then we cannot have a free electoral system until such conspiracy is fully exposed or dealt with. There are researchers among us, distinguished pathologists, writers, political scientists in various fields of science, who've done an incredible job that should be called by Congress to pull their studies for the use in the investigation that I am advocating. Now, this is very important because the words that you're hearing now from these various congressmen are the kind of words that I gave, if you have the tape cassettes or reels or remember the various dialogue conspiracies, and I was talking about the bullets and blackmail, the continuous role of manipulating our elections from 1960 up to the present time, even to the shootings in Sacramento and San Francisco with Sarah Moore and Squeaky Fromm, getting assassination oriented, ready for the next murder for the selected candidate to be put in an office. But these are members of Congress saying this at the House of Representatives, what you have been hearing on KLRB the past years as I've been sharing my research with you. Another person who spoke before the Congress was Bella Abzug, and she made a plea for opening up the evidence and for the Rules Committee not shelving the JFK assassination. And all these congressmen, there's a whole list of them here, showed their frustration, their disgust, their desperation on the way this hard evidence is being shelved, and pleading we may never have elections again, that the bullets control the ballots, the American people no longer trust their institutions, the methods of solving crimes are incorrect, justice is perverted, and this is what they are saying. Now, another section from Congressional Record, March 18th, 1976, again sounding like dialogue conspiracy, Congressman Downing goes on to tell why he had pushed the amendment before the Congress. He said, I know that I've introduced a lot of legislation in the last 16 and a half years, usually limited to certain areas, but I have to explain that nobody pressured me. What happened to me in April of 1973 was seeing the movie, Robert Groden, that he made, the copy of the Abraham Zapruder film when John Kennedy was killed. He said, I never did believe that one man could have fired those three shots in 6 seconds from a cheap foreign-made single-shot bolt-action rifle. The great majority of Americans never believed it either. As I say, Congressman Downing said, nobody pressured me into this resolution. Nobody even tried to persuade me. I did it because I believe the American people have lived for almost 12 years following that terrible day in Dallas without knowing the truth. Certainly without knowing the whole truth. And in that time, a great many myths have exploded and been brought to life, and now we must know what really happened to John Kennedy. Congressman Downey went on, the prosecutor who would manage the prosecution of Lee Harvey Oswald if he had been brought to trial would have a very difficult time bringing Lee Harvey Oswald to trial. As a result of this murder of Lee Harvey Oswald by Jack Ruby, no prosecutor was faced with the problem of prosecuting Lee Harvey Oswald for the first-degree murder of President Kennedy. As a prosecutor, what would you have going for you? In a warehouse, the Texas School Book Depository building along the parade route near the scene of the crime, the police found a Mannlicher Carcano rifle that had been purchased through the alias used by Lee Harvey Oswald. Three cartridge cases which had been fired from that gun were found on the sixth floor of the warehouse of the Texas School Book Depository. A nearly perfect bullet, which might have been fired from the Mannlicher Carcano, was found on a stretcher in the hospital where President Kennedy and Governor Connally were taken. That, in essence, is all the positive evidence that links the suspect to the crime. But even this evidence has its weak spots. For example, there's no clear record at all, despite the fact Oswald worked in the Texas School Book Depository, of how or when the gun was taken in the building. You see, nobody saw him carried in. There's no record. There's also considerable evidence that a second rifle, a 7.65 Mauser, was also taken from the building by the police after the assassination. There is no way of knowing when the cartridges had been fired in the Mannlicher Carcano. They could easily have been fired in an earlier time and placed in the building. Although the pristine bullet found in the hospital appears to have been fired from the gun, there's no clear evidence whatsoever as to how it got on a stretcher in Parkland Hospital. Now, look at what a defense attorney would have going for him in this same case. Despite a multitude of people in Dealey Plaza, no credible witness could be found that saw anyone firing a rifle the day that John Kennedy was killed. It should be noticed in passing that despite this lack of eyewitness, a rather good physical description of the alleged murderer, who later said he was a patsy, went out over the Dallas radio station 14 minutes after the last shot rang out. The description matched Lee Harvey Oswald, but no one has yet been able to explain how the police at that time had any idea who they were looking for. The great majority of spectators believe the shot came from the front of the president's car. They generally call that area the grassy knoll, and most of the police officers riding with the presidential motorcade dropped their motorcycles and rushed to that area. Approximately 90 seconds after the last shot was fired, Lee Harvey Oswald was on the second floor of the Texas School Book Depository drinking a Coca-Cola. If, in fact, he was the assassin, he had 90 seconds to conceal his gun, wipe off any fingerprints that existed, cross the whole width of the large warehouse, descend 5 flights of stairs by foot, the elevator was broken, find a dime, get his Coca-Cola, open it, and calmly be drinking before the police entered the Texas School Book Depository. The Mannlicher Carcano is a very cheap war surplus Italian carbine with a bolt action, single short, hardly the type a serious assassin would consider. There is no trace of the source of ammunition used in the murder. The Italians quit manufacturing the ammunition. The only known source for ammunition would be the United States government. It was never determined from which source the assassin actually obtained ammunition. For the Mannlicher Carcano to be fired 3 times in 6 seconds, the use of a clip is almost imperative, yet no clip was ever found. The telescopic sight on the rifle was defective. At the range, it was fired in Dealey Plaza, and it was off approximately 11 inches. The FBI ballistic tests on the bullet fragment taken from President Kennedy and Governor Connally were inconclusive. There's no positive ballistic evidence connecting bullets with the alleged assassin's gun. A paraffin test was made on Oswald's right cheek, which turned out to be negative, indicating he had probably not fired a rifle that day. First and foremost, among the serious constitutional defects that was Oswald was questioned 13 hours during his 45-hour detention, and he was never furnished with a lawyer. There was not a scrap of evidence as to what Oswald said during the 13 hours of interrogation. The Dallas Police Force did not own a tape recorder. This is interesting because people all over the country are recording in their own homes and offices off the television and radio what was taking place, but the Dallas Police had no tape recorder. They did not own a tape recorder. They didn't bother to have a stenographer record the interrogation. They said no notes were taken. It is difficult to believe that any judge or jury, with the exception of the Warren Commission, would accept such a statement as true. There was massive tampering with evidence, despite a Dallas ordinance that the autopsy had to be performed in Dallas, Texas. The body of John Kennedy was forcibly removed to Bethesda, Maryland, where a grossly inadequate autopsy was performed by 3 military pathologists with little, if any, forensic experience. And on top of this, the contemporaneous notes of the chief surgeon were later burned by him in the fireplace, his original notes. After the autopsy, he swore he didn't think they were important, and they were burned, and those notes do not exist. The car in which President Kennedy was riding at the time of his death was completely dismantled by the Secret Service, and all evidence relating to it was destroyed. Oswald's wife, who apparently had nothing to do with the crime, was held in protective custody for several months. For all practical purposes, she was held incommunicado. I could go on and list, but I think I've made my point that any prosecution of Lee Harvey Oswald would have been undermined by the most serious constitutional abuses. Well, for the last 40 minutes, I've been talking about the House Rules Committee in Washington, D.C., and I decided to return to Dialogue Conspiracy to share with you the fear that I have that there's a tremendous power working in Washington, D.C. to keep from the American people the truth about the John Kennedy assassination, the murder of Martin Luther King, the killing of Senator Robert Kennedy, and the attempted shooting of George Wallace. Now, just keeping this from the American people is reason enough to be afraid, because you can't run a democracy if you don't have total truth. But there are other factors I've listed here that the congressmen are aware of. There is the abuse of the Central Intelligence Agency that is not supposed to be working in the United States domestically. There is the abuse of the investigative powers in Washington. When the CIA and the FBI were suspect almost immediately about the killing of John Kennedy, and when Alan Dulles had been fired from the CIA by John Kennedy, it was a gross error to put him back on the Warren Commission. It is a gross error in an election year or an off year to appoint Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission. Either he was appointed on the Warren Commission by Richard Nixon. He should never have been allowed to become the president of the United States in the way he was appointed. Now he's running for office, and he has to pull the same shenanigans that Richard Nixon pulled in 1972. Richard Nixon and John Mitchell asked that the Watergate not be investigated till after the elections. And I put that into my article, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped?, that was published in August 1972. I was not pessimistic that Richard Nixon and the Watergate crimes would not be unfolded. I felt all along that the truth was so overpowering of some of the things that were going on in Washington, D.C., that Richard Nixon would have to be removed from office. And it took an election and a huge mandate and a success speech, you know, that he was so proud of himself. But the facts did remove him from office. And when I was talking to Ted Gandolfo, a fellow researcher who's done 12 years of work, he's living in Los Angeles now. He moved out from New York. When I talked to him on the telephone today, he was so terribly discouraged. He's flying to Washington, D.C. tomorrow. He spoke to the Secretary of the House Rules Committee, this Gregory Nicosia, the chief counsel, rather, for the Rules Committee. He's terribly depressed that these investigations will be shelved for all time. But I am the eternal optimist. I've been called that by Penn Jones, Jr. from Texas, who refers to me as the eternal optimist. I feel that the pressure of the people, if they are educated, can surmount people like Richard Nixon with the Watergate or Gerald Ford with the John Kennedy assassination. I can't believe that Ray Madden from Indiana or Mr. Sisk from California or this committee of 12 people can sit on this much truth. There will be another appeal, another hearing this Wednesday, the 31st of March in Washington, D.C. If you have money and have the energy to send a night letter, because I think it'll be too late to send it Tuesday morning and get there this Wednesday. But if you have the energy and want to send a night letter, write to the chairman of the House Rules Committee, Ray J. Madden, and send another letter, make a carbon copy, to Congressman Gonzalez, the House of Representatives, or Congressman Downing, so that they know that you have written to the Rules Committee to object to what they're doing. Don't just send one letter to the Rules Committee, because they may throw it in the wastebasket and say, well, we didn't get any letters criticizing what we're doing, but we have 100,000 letters defending our shelving this. Send copies of your letters to Congressman Gonzalez and Congressman Downing and say, this is how we express ourselves. Write to the House Rules Committee, Rayburn Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20015. And if you have any money left over after paying your taxes and you feel like telephoning, again, the number is 202-225-2461. The House Rules Committee in Washington, D.C. The hearing, the appeal of researchers, will take place this Wednesday, March 31st, 1976, in the House of Representatives. And you can see that these men are getting very intelligent about the evidence. And the more intelligent they get about destroying John Kennedy's car or planting bullets and fabricating the actual facts of the case, the harder Gerald Ford's going to fight back. So I came back on the air today to plead to you to write to the House and call radio stations, talk shows, alert them, use the news media, and let them know that these investigations are being shelved and that you want the truth, you deserve the truth, and you will get the truth if you keep pounding away back in Washington. Well, that's it for today. It's good to be back with you, and take care.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 10 years has been researching the facts behind political assassinations and conspiracies in this country. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KELRB-FM in Carmel, California.